This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Too legit to quit. It's catchy because it rhymes. It's an example of a rhyming compound, a quick little rhyming phrase that adds some zest to the way we talk and or rap. We commonly use rhyming compounds to add a little bit of zaniness to everyday living, maybe even without thinking about it. At a restaurant, we might wine and dine, or if we're bill-skipping scofflaws, we might eat it and beat it. Is there a rhyme you hear a lot in your day-to-day life? Maybe there's some workplace jargon or family phrase that you love or really drives you nuts. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 to share your rhyme. Joining us now is Grant Barrett. He's a dictionary editor and linguist. He specializes in slang and new words. You know him as the co-host of Away With Words, a national public radio program about language. It airs Sunday mornings at 9 on the Ideas Network. Grant, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, nice to talk to you.
Well, here's our rhyming compound. It's Barrett and Ferret talking about rhymes. What is a rhyming compound? What do we mean by that, Grant?
It's two or more words put together in a way that makes a miniature rhyme on its own. So wine and dine is a great one because we've got two words whose meaning we know. We paired them together with and suddenly we've got this new phrase that means something else. And there's so many of these in English, so many of these. Slice and dice is another one that probably everyone uses and thinks of, and it just passes right through, and you don't think, oh, that's kind of sweet how nice that works out, slice and dice.
And what kind of purpose do these serve, having all these handy little rhyming phrases?
Well, we all love to play with language. Even the most staid, boring speaker of English likes to goof around. And these little bits of rhyme are probably one of the most fundamental elements of making language a little more interesting. In this particular case, with rhyming compounds, we're making it a little bit irreverent. So even if we're talking about something serious, like drill and kill, which is when soldiers do military training and then they go out and they use that training in order to defeat the enemy. Drill and kill still has a slightly irreverent tone to it.
And what are some more common examples that we might encounter in daily life? I know you've been hunting for more obscure ones, but give us some more examples of ones we might have run into.
Oh, I love them all. Let's see. Gloom and doom.
Gloom and doom is a good one, yeah.
Shake and bake. We all know the product, right?
Right, and I'll stop you there, because that's one, it's like an easy instruction. I know what I'm going to do with this product in three words.
You just know the marketing people for that product were so excited when they figured that one out. Three words, that's all we need on the box, three words. Hey, let's make it the title of the product, right? Meet and greet, that's another one, which is nice. Surf and turf, when you have the seafood and the steak. I went to a Mexican restaurant here in San Diego recently, and unfortunately in Mexican restaurants, surf and turf doesn't rhyme, so it's nice in English. Pump and dump maybe is a little less common for our listeners, and maybe that's a good thing. That's when scammers artificially inflate the price of a stock, and then when the price goes up, they sell all the stock that they own that they've just been hyping, and then they make a little bit of money.
I want to bring on a caller now with a rhyme at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Eau Claire. Chris, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. You got a rhyme for us, Chris?
Yeah. So one of the things that I've done a lot is when anyone asks me how I'm doing, I always respond to them with, oh, I'm dandy like candy.
And Chris, what kind of response do you get to that?
Sometimes it's a little quizzical look, like I've never heard that one before, but more likely what happens is they're like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. And then I tell them, take it, use it, steal it, just push it into the world.
Can I ask, Chris, are you a dad?
I am not, but I love dad jokes.
Okay, because I was going to say, you're creeping into dad joke territory, so I can just about promise I'll use that one. Grant, when you look at these, are you inspired to have a catchphrase in daily life, like dandy like candy, like Chris's?
Well, because I dabble in language, or because I'm part of the language dodge, as William Sapphire used to say, I know a lot more of these than most people, and they do kind of spill out the corners of my mouth anytime I'm not paying attention. So absolutely. Even if I'm not meaning to be funny or not meaning to use this stuff, it's just there and ready, and I can just pour it out at a moment's notice.
Chris, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Grant, as we mentioned, you collect these, you've been writing about them, and you sent us some examples that I think take a little more explanation. So let's start off with the old drag and brag. What is that?
So in brief, drag and brag is show and tell. You drag something to the front of the room, and then you show it off. But more specifically, drag and brag, say, in the show car business, where people have these fancy renovated automobiles that have been completely redone, a drag and brag might be where you bring your car out to show off to all the other car owners and talk about all the work you did to the body and the engine and everything else. Or sometimes they just brag about how little you paid for it or how many hours you put into it. So there's a lot of different ways that these play out. One thing I find again and again and again is that rhyming compounds are recreated and recoined. And so, for example, I mentioned drill and kill as military training plus then using the weapons to actually defeat the enemy. Well, there's also a drill and kill in extermination. It's a method by which you get rid of termites. And there's a drill and kill in interviewing job candidates, where you drill them with a lot of important questions, and then you basically defeat and kill all their interest in the company because you bored them so much. And so there's a ton of this stuff, again and again and again, because we intuitively understand the morphology of English. We intuitively know how to put these things together and make them for ourselves. So they keep being recreated with new meaning.
Let's go back to our callers. Justin is on the line in Stevens Point. Justin, hi.
Hi. I have a rhyme for you, but it's in Portuguese.
Okay.
So in Stevens Point, there's a really great restaurant for lunches and breakfast called the Wooden Chair. But the Wooden Chair, as a phrase, is not rhyming. But in Portuguese, it's Cadeira de Madeira. Ooh.
No, wait, which is the actual name of the restaurant? Is it, does the sign say the wooden chair or the Portuguese phrase that I can't repeat?
The sign says the wooden chair, yep. And then the Portuguese, I had some Portuguese friends. I dated a Portuguese person for a while. So we thought that was cool.
Justin, thank you so much. That's a very subtle use in an English-speaking country to have that Portuguese rhyme hidden there, Grant.
So nice, though, right?
Yeah. In marketing, we mentioned shake and bake. Is this something that works well or could potentially work well in marketing?
It can, but you're kind of limited. You got to squeeze yourself into this template. Certainly rhyming in jingles. Think about how long advertising jingles have been with us to get you to remember a product, not only because the melody is kind of an earworm, but because the thing is repeatable. The rhymes make things easier to remember and then easier to relay. And so certainly advertising people, I worked in advertising for a long time, certainly advertising people are totally looking for these rhymes. But boy, you got to be super careful with them because of all these double meanings, right?
I Like Ike is one that leaps to mind for the President Dwight Eisenhower and his campaign. And when I thought of, it's not fully a rhyme, but stop, drop, and roll. For, you know, mm-hmm. fire, that the stop drop part really locks that into your brain, I think.
Yeah, and it's also got the XYZ ABC rhythm to it, right? So we are used to thinking things in sets of threes. This is a long-standing thing that has been discussed in folklore for a very long time. Sets of three are somehow culturally interesting to us. So that's part of what's happening there, too.
Let's go back to our callers. Harry is with us in Milwaukee. Harry, hi.
Hi. I've got an aviation term for you. It's yank and bank.
Yank and bank. Well, how would that work operationally?
If you're trying to impress somebody, you're taking off, and you pull up or you yank back on the stick to climb, and at the same time you turn sharply, and so it looks like you're trying to impress your girlfriend on the ground.
Okay, well, I will not be impressed if I'm in the plane with you, Harry. Thanks a lot for sharing that one. There's another one on your list that I think is aviation-related. Turn and burn or churn and burn?
Yeah, churn and burn. So I've got five or six different definitions of churn and burn, and this particular aviation one is to fly in such a way that you give the electronic appearance of being a larger number of aircraft. So let's say that you're just a handful of aircraft, or you might fly around and do kind of ridiculous maneuvers and not do a straight line so that the enemy looking at their radar or their sensors might not be sure if you're the same aircraft that was, you know, a little distance away just a few seconds ago.
Oh, so you're kind of churning up the signal there for them. It took me a while to figure that one out.
Yeah, in sports, both in baseball and football, there are churn and burn maneuvers that have to do with a kind of first grinding out this advantage and then burning once you kind of get a clear shot to the home run or the end goal.
And I've heard when my kids were playing soccer, turn and burn, as in you've just stolen the ball from the other team, at a certain age, you now need to turn around and go back toward the other goal and burn, like turn on the afterburners, run real fast.
Yep, exactly.
Let's see. What's another? Tend and befriend is one that was on your list. What's that for?
Now, how about that? If I didn't tell you what tend and befriend meant, what would you think?
I'm taking care of the people around me and getting to be good friends with them, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So what it is, it's something that we as animals do when we're threatened. Unfortunately, this tends to come up in cases of domestic violence where women are encouraged to tend and to befriend, which is take care of themselves, take care of their children, find a group of people who can help them, and get out of the bad situation. So it's a shorthand for what you need to do if you find yourself threatened in the home environment. Tend and befriend.
Now, we've got one. It's fairly new on the Central Time team. We have pitch meetings where we go and share ideas, you know, pitch ideas for future shows. Sometimes if somebody needs to present their ideas at the beginning and then go back to work right away, they will pitch their ideas and leave. It has become called, and I don't know who coined this, pitch and ditch. And so I didn't come up with this one. Is this something we do a lot in workplaces or professional environments, come up with these catchy little phrases?
Yeah, the workplace, any place where we all spend a lot of time working on the same goals together, they tend to lend themselves to an in-house vocabulary, a kind of a jargon of the particular situation. The best example, obviously, is the military, where all of these people working together towards a common goal have to have these shorthands in order to just get their work done, and so they don't have to say the long version of everything. And that happens to a lesser degree in the workplace, absolutely.
Well, Grant, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us. Always fun to talk to you.
It was my pleasure.
That's Grant Barrett, a dictionary editor and linguist. He's co-host of Away with Words, a national program about language. You can hear the show Sunday mornings at 9, yes, here on the Ideas Network.